Remember, the devil cannot destroy the church, so he'll distract it from your assignment. And then what will happen is we'll become like the world. We'll get caught up in the centrifuge. And then after a while, our morals and our family values and everything become no different from the people out there. And the only difference between us and the people out there is that we spend time in a building called a church building on Sundays and they don't. That's about it.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Do you ever feel like your world is spinning faster and faster? Life can sometimes seem out of control. Well, today, if you feel like you are caught in the spin cycle of an industrial strength washing machine, Pastor Wayne has some good news for you. Here he is with a message entitled, As the World Turns.
Today, we're going to take communion as a response to the calling that God has put on our lives. And I want you to know that in these last, maybe 20 years or so, things have been going faster and faster in our norms and in our society and our culture, changing so quickly. And I think we can all admit that this world is turning very fast. Speaking of just the world turning and physically turning, spatially turning, do you know that right now you are traveling at 66,600 miles an hour? That's how fast you're whipping through space at a total circumference of 93 million miles, but you're whipping through space at 66,600 miles an hour, and the Earth is on its axis at 23 degrees. That is spinning as well as you're whipping through space at the same time. And on the equator, you're moving at 1,000 miles an hour. Up in the North and South Pole, it turns more slowly around that, but at the equator, you're 1,000 miles an hour. Now remember, the speed of sound is 761 miles an hour. So you're moving right now far faster than the speed of sound. You are actually moving, you're spinning faster than the spin cycle on your washing machine. And we should all be dizzy. Well, in actuality, if you're not careful, we will be. Because as the world turns, you will find all kinds of things to distract you. Listen, what God wants to speak to us, the devil's going to want to obscure. Because the Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. For not only is the world turning, so is our society, our culture, our mores. What's moral and what's not moral? What's right and what's wrong? One law can be passed where in one day it's wrong and then the next day it's right. One day it was criminal, the next day it's fine. We're going to put dispensaries out there so you can buy the stuff. From one day to another, it goes from dark to light and light to dark, wrong to right and right to wrong. Man is completely fickle and so distracting, and if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that very thing. But it's what you put your eyes on. We have 17 churches in Japan that we've planted, 140 altogether, So part of the reason why John is here is to manage this campus so that I can oversee and write and as I do train and do resources for the leaders and churches and pastors under our New Hope umbrella. But I was in Japan. I went to an amusement park and there was a nondescript house, about 700 square feet. It looked like just a regular house, but people were coming out of the ride. People were coming out of the front door of this house and throwing up. And I thought, yes, that's a ride I want to experience. So I got in line. I thought, man, I want to throw up too. This is just wonderful. So we go in this house. There's a table set over here, a kitchen with a refrigerator, cups and saucers. And over here is a living room and some coffee on the table, etc. And in the middle of the house, from wall to wall with a bar like this, a round bar, was a bench. So you sit on the bench and hold the bar. I thought, this is crazy. Well, you're dangling on this bench, and what you don't know is the inside of the house, everything is adhered to or glued down, bolted down, and it is disconnected from the outside of the house, so this whole inside starts to spin. I mean, refrigerators, stoves, everything starts going around, and it increases its speed, and pretty soon you're just like wanting to throw up on each other. And so it was just gurgling my stomach, and I thought, well, this is crazy. The house is going around, and I wanted to see how others were doing, and I looked over, and you know, when you look at them, it's like, oh, everything's still. Everything else is going around, but we're okay. And then you look at this, and we start up again. Well, it finally slowed down, and we went out, and we followed the suit of those who came before us. We did the same thing and deposited our lunch. But I was thinking about that house, and I thought, you know, the world, as the world turns, it's the same thing. It's what you fix your eyes on. And the news of the world, I mean, you can't open the newspaper without you finding out what the world is celebrating, what the world is giving trophies for, what the world is alluding to, what the world's principles are, what the world is asking you to be a part of, what the world's going to demand you be a part of, and they'll belittle you if you're not, and you get caught up in this. Well, should I? The fashions, the trends, the designs, and pretty soon, after a while, you're just like, well, I want to keep up with them. I'd like to be like a part of the crowd, and then your heart starts to stray and you're distracted from what God wants you to look at. And we stop looking at what God wants us to, and we get caught up in the centrifuge of the world. And it gets so distracting that our hearts stray. Remember, the devil can't destroy the church, so you know what he'll do? Distract the church so that you won't see what's obvious. The Bible talks about that, and it says this, and it's going to come up on the screen. Would you read it with me? Go. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. Well, you say, well, Wayne, how do we keep our eyes off of this as the world turns? How do we keep focus? Well, he reminds us in this next scripture in Colossians 3. Go. Keep seeking the things above. Set your minds on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. I want you to know, listen carefully, and my whole message is this. I want us to renew our hearts to whom God has called us to be. And he's going to give us instructions in a crucial and critical era such as this. For in the last 20 years, we have never seen the spin of the world as we have now, especially within the last 10 years. Well, that which was wrong is now right, and that which was right is now wrong. We are changing cultures. In the past, the mores and the cultures of the U.S. would change about once every generation, where language changes, styles change. Fashion changes, design changes, the paint schemes of people's homes, architectural tastes, all switch about every 40 years. Then as time came a little more towards the modern times, we hit from the agrarian age or agricultural age to the industrial age. And then it started changing every 10 years, everything would change, even language. If you doubt that, go back to the 1600s and try to read some Shakespeare during that time. And the language is so stilted, you can't even understand what they're saying in the Old English. Language has changed to the way we speak today. But then the advent of the computer came. And now it's not every 40 years, it's not every 10 years, it's every 18 months culture and fashion and design changes because you have Madison Avenue technology and advertisement and marketing. They can change things so much more quickly and the television, etc. And then of more recent date, because of social media and the flattening of the world, you know what's happening in Greece today. And that's affecting our economy. What's happening in China? What's happening in ISIS? What's happening in Nigeria or Liberia? It's just all of a sudden, it is everything is now. And you know what? Our culture, mores, even morals, values, change every 28 days. And we are in a world that's spinning things around. And when God is about to do something great, the enemy is going to come and distract you so that the church doesn't focus on what God is saying. Remember, the devil cannot destroy the church, so he'll distract it from your assignment. And then what will happen is we'll become like the world. We'll get caught up in the centrifuge. And then after a while, our morals and our family values and everything become no different from the people out there. And the only difference between us and the people out there is that we spend time in a building called a church building on Sundays and they don't. That's about it. But here's the deception. The scripture says, and Jesus is speaking, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Speaking of the cross, that he'll draw people to the Father. Do you believe that God is still drawing people to himself in these days? Yes. Now watch this. If the church has no values, or if we've diluted our values and we're just like everybody else, then what hope has the world in us to show them an example of what the people of the kingdom look like? Remember, as I said last week, you may be the only Bible people will ever read, and you'll be the only Jesus they will ever see. But if we don't resemble or represent Christ, then why should people come to church? Why should they model off our families? Is there any hope for them when God draws them to himself and they come out of dark places and hard times? Is there any example for them to follow? Then what happens is the churches don't become that light that'll give people a navigable way to the throne of God. So I want to encourage us to first of all hear that God is saying something very obvious to the church that we've got to zero in on. And if we're not careful, the scripture says you put your heart into the world, you'll become like the world. And the scripture says this, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. We'll start to celebrate what the world is celebrating, or we can make a choice and say, wait a minute, I want to celebrate what God is celebrating. Well, what about what the world is applauding? I want to know what God is applauding. What about what the news is saying? I want to know what God is saying. Because that's where I get my marching orders. But if we're not careful, we're caught up in that. We're distracted in the most obvious thing we don't even see. We're just completely blind to. And the Pharisees were like that. They were completely blind to the Messiah when he was right in front of them. Because why? Because they were caught in the centrifuge of that culture. We have to be transculture, in fact, countercultural, and that's the church. We say, Wayne, how do you find out what God is emphasizing and what he's obviously saying? Well, I'll give you a hint. You want to know what God is emphasizing in this current time? Watch what the devil works so hard to counterfeit and obscure. Because you see, the devil doesn't counterfeit stuff that's nondescript and unnecessary. He'll find out what God is doing. He'll counterfeit it. He'll obscure it so that we will be distracted from what God is saying. And if we miss it, no one else will get it. So what I do is I say, okay, what's the devil counterfeiting in these days? What is he obscuring? What is he misdefining and then redefining? What are those things? That'll tell you exactly what God is trying to emphasize. Now, we can fight against the counterfeit. We can fight against the Supreme Court, or we can say, thank you for helping us to see what God is emphasizing, because that's what we're going to emphasize as well. That's what we're going to celebrate as well. That's what we're going to give trophies out as well, in that way, not in the other way. In the past, when they would train people who would inspect for counterfeit in the bank, $100 bills, $50 bills, they would never show them a counterfeit bill. You know what they'd do? For 3 days, they'd give you 8 hours a day in a room that's full of the real stuff. Real bills, real $100 bills, real $50 bills, old, new, crumpled up. Some of the bills that have passed through a million hands of merchants. And there they were, some soiled, gone through washers and dryers, and they would be some brand new, spanking new minted $100 bills. So they'd see all kinds of them. You can smell them, you can study them, you can taste them, you can eat it, you can tear it, do anything you want to. And then they would tell you about the ink, the composition of the ink, how it was made, the drawing process. You inspect it in light. They'd show you the different, almost like The different phases of that, the how it looks in the light, how it looks in the darkness, all of these things. After 3 days, then they put you in front of a conveyor belt. They would put all kinds of bills in front of you and they would go by you and they would slip a few counterfeits in here and there. Now you'd sit at that conveyor belt and you'd say, oh yeah, this looks good. And you'll see one come by and you say, you know, I don't know what's wrong with this, but that doesn't look right, and neither does this one. This one, that doesn't look right. The coloring's off on this. Ink is a little splotched, and the focus is off on that. Now, this one doesn't look right. Now, I cannot tell you academically and chemically what's wrong with these, but I tell you something's wrong with it. And then they're able to pick out the counterfeits, not because they studied the counterfeits, but because they knew the what? The real thing. And we find in the book of John, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice and they follow me because they know me. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow because they know the stranger. No, because they know not the stranger. In other words, when there are strange voices going on, be careful who you listen to. Stay with the real thing. And you'll know the counterfeit. And then you'll begin to emphasize the real thing. And I want you to catch that in this day of age. So you say, well, what's God emphasizing? Well, I look what the devil's counterfeiting. Well, what's that? Here it is, three things. You ready? I take a look at the newest ruling now by the Supreme Court, and it'll help you to see what the devil's obscuring and the world is wanting to spin and distract us in. Here it is. The three things that God wants us to emphasize, because I see what the enemy's doing, are these. Number one, biblical morals. Two, marriage. Getting that healthy. And three, family. We get those core going, it's a foundation of our country. You remove those, you've taken away the moorings of our lives. Morals. Because if you don't have morals, like, oh, I'd sleep with anybody. This is cool. There's no law against it, right? We're all doing it. Everybody's doing it. We're active. Yeah, that's just how it is. Let's party. And it's a part of the partying. Well, why should I get married? Because I don't need to get married. Because we've got, I'm living with this one, living with that one. It's fine. Get rid of all of the paperwork. Well, the problem is when you destroy biblical morals, it reduces marriage and it sexual promiscuity then brings all kinds of emotional problems and physical ones, and that there's pregnancies now, unwanted pregnancies. The world says, no problem, this is how we deal with it. What's that? Abortion. Did you know that that has become so norm that since January 22, 1973, when it was legislated as legal in the Roe versus Wade case, that's when abortion became legal. Listen carefully. 58 million children have been aborted in America. 58 million. But you know, for most of us, like, so? Let me give you some history lesson. Go all the way back to this time. And as I said, what the enemy tries to attack and counterfeit is because God is doing something on the positive. We have to find out what that positive is and go with it. So then you'll be a people of God rather than a people of the world. And this will jade you to the things of God. It'll confuse you. Let me go back to what God was doing back here when the people of Israel were imprisoned in Egypt. God wanted to raise up a deliverer that he would bring the people out of Egypt with grand miracles that the world would study for eons after that. And then it would bring forth a nation that would change the world. So when God was planning to bring forth a deliverer whose name was Moses, through which he would write the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the enemy saw what was happening and he got nervous. And if you recall, Pharaoh had all the children of these Jewish mothers, if it was a male, to have them genocide, just kill them all. How many were killed? Maybe thousands. Moses slipped through. Remember, he was hidden in the Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him, and God delivered his people. But can you see when God's about to do something, what the enemy does? He tries genocide. Fast forward the tape with me. God's about to bring another deliverer. This one is the Redeemer of the world to save us from our sins. When that happened, the enemy got nervous again. Do you remember what Herod did? He had all the male children 2 years old. If you know what a two-year-older is, not a baby. 2 years old and under, killed. 2 years old. How many were killed? Well, we don't know. Maybe tens of thousands. There was an attempt at genocide because the enemy knew that God was about to do something great. You look at the Holocaust. 6 million people were killed. But all of those that I just mentioned to you don't even hold a candle to what's happening right here. 58 million. And it's like, do you understand how the culture can jade us to something that is amazingly horrific in history? And for us, it's like, do you understand why in foreign policy, people in other lands go, you guys are nuts? Because they see it better than we can, because it's objective. We're subjective. We were in the midst of that. And so God, do you think God is wanting to do something pretty amazing if that much genocide is taking place? Don't you think that God wants to do something great? Just look at it. You say, yeah, our deductive reasoning goes, yes, there's something huge. And the devil is agitated like crazy, and it's getting worse since 1973. So you say, well, what about the live birth? Did you know that 4 million babies are born in the U.S.? Many are aborted, but 4 million every year in the U.S. John Hopkins University just did a study. 49% of those are born out of wedlock, or 2 million out of wedlock. So they're raised by single parents, broken families, moms doing their best to try and make a living to raise these kids. Tough, tough times. And these kids become latchkey children without mom and dad. And then guess what? They grow up. Now, by the way, there's some that are embraced by family, embraced by grandparents. And I know because some are in this church. Been born out of wedlock, and the church, we gather around them because it's not the kids' fault. So we love them, we care for them, we bring them up in the ways of the Lord. But that's a minority. The majority of them don't have those beautiful chances to be raised in that way. Now, these kids will grow up to be leaders in our country and our politicians and people in legislature. Do you understand the danger of our future now because of morality? It attacks marriages and our families. And the moorings of our country go down, and it affects the churches. And if the churches get caught up in the centrifuge, then what hope has the world when they come into a church? They don't need to come in because there's no difference. So we begin to understand that God is doing something very important in morals and in marriage and in our families. So what do? Well, instead of fighting against the counterfeit, we decide to do this. We're going to zero in on what God is zeroing in on. We're going to emphasize what He emphasized. We're going to recommit ourselves to biblical morals, men and women, biblical marriage, men and women, and biblical families. So we start redefining marriage. Let's take a look at what the Scripture says about marriage, because people say to me, Wayne, why are you getting so fussed about marriage? I mean, we're going to redo it, and we're going to have an alternative thing here. And, you know, anybody can get married, just law now. I said, well, you know, you got to remember this. God created marriage. It's the oldest institution known to man. And God created that. And so for us, marriage, two things. Number one, is used by God as an object lesson between Christ and His church. Ephesians chapter 5, husbands love your wife like Christ loves the church. So it should be when the people of the world look at our marriages, they say, that's how the Father loves me, like you love your wife and children. Yes. Oh, that is so inviting. So one, it's actually by God's words used as an object lesson for the love between the Father and His children. Secondly, marriage is not just some union. It is a sacrament, like communion, which means it's very holy unto God, and He blesses it.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, As the World Turns. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, remember the verse Pastor Wayne gave us from Colossians 3. Set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. And from Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cadero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.